Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. Hey, it's Mark Striegel. Welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. And this is a very special edition because basically what happened when we did this Rockin' Pod Expo, the organizers of the expo asked us to reach out to our listeners and get them to pledge money to help make the expo possible. And I must say I was so proud of our listeners because we offered three guest spots and we sold all three of them. And one of the guys who donated a big chunk of money to the Rock and Pod Expo couldn't make the expo, which is just even more mind-boggling that he still was so cool to support what we were doing out at the expo. So I told him, I said, well, since you're not going to be at the expo, we'll have you call in to a show that you can co-host, because that was, you know, part of the deal that the people who made the pledge would get to co-host an episode and co-produce an episode. So on that note, let's welcome a guy who's probably pretty well known to our listeners at this point from his famous voicemails and stuff like that. Jerry from Long Island. Hey, Jerry, how are you?
Excellent. You forgot the accent. The accent gives it away all the time.
Right. Jerry from Long Island. Dad. Yeah, you got a voice that sounds like it's from Long Island. Where in Long Island are you from, Jerry?
Selbin.
Okay, cool. And
it's on the North Shore.
Gotcha. And we got to meet in person recently. Not that long ago. I'm trying to think. Well, it was July, right? At the Iron Maiden show in Brooklyn, New York. It was the final night of the tour. You were there both nights. They did two nights in Brooklyn, right? You went both nights?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, that's a diehard fan. And you know, let's talk.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. I had a lot of fun at that show. Let's talk about the Iron Maiden tour that they just did, the second leg of the Book of Souls tour. We were at that closing night. The set list was kind of interesting. You know, usually when these bands come out, like you probably heard me bitch and moan about Metallica playing so many...
Well, I know. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, they did. They played so many new songs, and it didn't work for me when I saw them. But however, when I saw Maiden, for whatever reason, maybe I like Book of Souls better than Hardwired to Self-Destruct. I don't know. It worked better for me. I'm the type of guy who would always want to probably hear more old classics than the new stuff. But for some reason, those shows really worked for me. The set list that Iron Maiden was doing on this second leg of the Book of Souls tour. And I wanted to get your opinion on the set list and the shows in general. How about the set list? Were you happy with it?
Not particularly. And the reason is because the year before that, they basically did the exact same new songs as they did. So with the year off, they didn't come back and do any of the other new songs that they didn't play. And in previous interviews, guys like Nico said that they hoped that they played the entire album. It was that good. And I agreed right. It was that good. But to come back and just do the exact same set list, the only song they changed out or added was The Great Unknown, which, don't get me wrong, I loved it. It was awesome. But I wanted to hear When the River Runs Deep and Man of Sorrows.
Right.
They're two great songs, and we didn't get to hear them. And I'm just kind of confused that, you know, a legacy band like Iron Maiden and such a great, great album that everyone loved, that they couldn't even come up with some new music for us.
Right.
That made me mad. And like you, I always check the set list, but the tickets were sold like way, way out in advance. So I just bought them. And the next thing you know, it's the exact same set as the year that before.
Right. Right.
Which I caught at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. Well, so. You know, the one thing about Maiden is they will do these tours that focus heavily on their latest release, which, I mean, at this point, Book of Souls, what did that come out, like 2015? I mean, it's not like it's a brand new record, but
correct.
They're still touring on it here in 2017. But
right.
they will go out on the road, you know, and they do these tours where they're hyping the new record. But they do, in Maiden's defense, they then usually come around a year or two later and will do, like, a classic tour where they just pull out all the classics, and I always love those tours too.
Right.
And but it's interesting because what you're saying is you would have even preferred more new material, or at least some different new material.
Oh yeah, the album's that good.
Yeah,
I haven't really met anybody that said, "Oh, I can't stand that album; it's terrible."
Right.
It's that good.
Yeah, so much better than Final Frontier.
Oh, it's like night and day.
Yeah.
So again, like I kind of spoke to you earlier or chatted with you on Instagram, you know, we got a legacy band that's been around for a good 30, 40 years, and they don't even need an opening band. And you know, I love Ghost. You're the one that turned me on to Ghost,
cool.
But they don't need an opening band. They could actually come out there, play for 2.5 hours, take a 20-minute break, like other legacy bands, like Rush. Even Dream Theater is doing that kind of set,
right,
and
then
not
sets.
Even yet a legacy band.
Yeah.
Roger Waters took a break, so they could play a 2.5-hour show easily. And if you look at the set list and you put it on your phone, it's only an hour and 39 minutes. Yeah, add in 10 or 15 minutes of Bruce talking, but they really only play for an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how we got some of these bands that are in their 70-year-old people and they're doing 2.5-hour sets. And Maiden's got three guitar players, which we both agree we don't like.
Right.
So,
yeah,
it's gotta be a 20-song set list, and my set list is 20 songs. It's 2 hours perfect, and it includes a lot of deep cuts.
Like
what
deep
four
cuts?
Or five new songs.
What deep cuts do you want to hear Maiden do?
Prowler.
Oh,
Prowler.
That'd be amazing. Yeah.
Murders in the Rue Morgue.
Right. Of course.
Charlotte the Harlot.
But that would be really rare. Like I don't know. Have they ever played that live? At least in the last 30 years.
Not, yeah. Listen, Rush had never played "Losing It," and they broke it out.
Right.
People went crazy. And now, what else I got? I got "Flash of the Blade."
Wow.
"Sign of the Cross." "The Klansman," which is my all-time favorite.
Oh, nice.
"Stranger in a Strange Land," which Nico wanted to do. "Die with Your Boots On."
Yeah.
"Where Eagles Dare."
Yeah.
Come on, this place will go crazy. 22 Akeesha Avenue,
yeah.
Nico wanted to do. Which gets to my other point. You hear in another interview on another podcast that Nico says that Steve Bruce, and with a little help from Rod Small with the manager, they picked the set list. So wow. I'm led to believe that the rest of the guys in the band don't, like Nico has no choice, Adrian has no choice, Dave Murray has no choice. That doesn't seem like a band.
Yeah.
And I'm not a musician. You are. But that's crazy.
Well, I will say, you know, you mentioned those three names, and it doesn't seem like a band. I do see Bruce may be having more of a say than some other people because the voice is a muscle, you know, and he knows that muscle better than anybody. So he might say, okay, well, those songs are really tough to sing. So I can only do these songs and this and that. So I could see Bruce having a say, but Rod Smallwood having a say is a little ridiculous. I love Rod Smallwood, but it's like, come on, Dave Murray, Adrian Smith.
Mark, I'm glad you brought that up because that'll bring up my next topic. So after the show, on the train ride back from Brooklyn, being a bunch of fans, we start breaking down the show, and basically, Bruce sounds great. Oh, he still sounds great. Well, the next comment, well, wish they would have played some deep cuts. Followed by the third comment, well, they're probably only playing songs that he can do, and that ties into what you're saying about the muscle and the voice. So how can we go from Bruce sounds great to he might not be able to do these songs? Now, again, I'm not a musician. I don't claim to be. So that's what you have to tell me. Are there certain songs you think he can't sing anymore?
Well, you know, judging
or has
from
a hard time with?
Yeah, I thought he sounded, you know, I've seen them on almost every tour. I didn't see the Madison Square Garden show for the Book of Souls that you mentioned. Somehow I missed that. But most of the shows I see when they're in New Jersey. And I thought he sounded better than he has in the past 10 years. And he never sounds bad, but I thought he sounded better than he has in the past 10 years on this recent tour.
And what everybody said.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think, like, are there certain songs that he might have trouble doing? I mean, it doesn't seem like it, you know? I don't think so
either.
He does Trooper, he does all these. I mean, if he can do the Trooper, you know, and he can do Number of the Beasts with, you know, that yell at the front. I mean, yeah, right. I'm sure he can handle just about right. anything.
And I don't want anybody to think that I'm trashing Maiden. They're one of my favorite bands. Like I said, you know, favorite band, and I pay close to $200 and I take the train in. I want what I want. You know what I'm saying? I don't want Rod Smallwood picking songs. I can't have that. It's not like I'm trashing Iron Maiden. They're one of my favorite bands. I love this band. That's why I go see them all the time. But when Rod Smallwood is picking songs and Adrian Smith and Dave Murray aren't getting a say, it doesn't seem like it's a band for the fans anymore.
No, it definitely seems strange to me too. You know, but right now let's hit an Iron Maiden song. What do you want to play for the Talking Metal listeners?
How about you play The Clansman from Rockin' Rio?
Nice. Oh, okay, this is going to be fun. Here we go. The Clansman live, Iron Maiden on Talking Metal, picked by Jerry from Long Island.
Which sometimes is not. To live on high lands, the air that you breathe, so pure and so clean, when alone in the hills, with a wind in your hair, and a longing to feel, just to be free. Is it right to believe in the need to be free? It's a time when you die and went out as
asking, why can't you see what they do? They are grinding us down. They are taking our land. Belongs to the clan. Not alone with a dream. Just a want to be free. With a need to belong. I am a clansman. Come on! Freedom!
Anymore. Whoa! But I got the free, the great time to change. And I know I won't. But the time is right. I'll take what is mine. I am the prize man. And I know what I want. And the time is right. I'll take what is mine. I am the prize man.
That song right there, Iron Maiden, here on Talking Metal, The Klansman, that is picked by Jerry from Long Island. Jerry, great pick, and let's just talk about your favorite bands. Maiden, obviously, I'm guessing, is one of them, but when you think, like, I don't mean to put you on the spot, I didn't ask you this in advance, but when you think, like, top five, what bands pop into your mind as your top five bands or artists?
Led Zeppelin.
Oh, nice. Rush. Of course. Yeah.
Van Halen. Judas Priest.
Yeah.
Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
The typical stuff.
Yeah, definitely. You excited to hear new Judas Priest music? They're working on an album, which they got this producer, Andy Sneap. I don't know how you pronounce his
name.
But, yeah.
I love hearing Rob Halford's voice.
Yeah,
I had an interesting story to tell you about Judas Priest. So I'm at a show in San Diego back in the 80s because my friend was in the Navy. And I'm at the San Diego Sports Arena. And everyone's standing up. And we're all headbanging. And this usher is pointing his flashlight in my face telling me I have to sit down. And I'm like, I got to be on camera because this is Judas Priest.
Right.
He puts it in my face like four different times. I'm like, dude. Yeah. Take a look around with you. Nobody's sitting down. I thought that was the oddest thing.
Yeah. No, that
telling
is...
me to sit down at a Judas Priest concert.
Yeah. No, that's outrageous. And usually, you know, the security guards are pretty good. However, you do occasionally get somebody who's a bit of a, I don't know what the word is, you know, like bully.
A buzz bomb.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I got thrown out of a Kiss show twice, actually. And it was the same type of thing where I was just like overjoyed by the moment and I was going crazy.
Right.
You know, and I threw my brother threw what was mostly empty, almost, I think he claimed it was totally empty. There may have been just a little bit of beer left, but it was a cup. And he threw it up into the air, like, in celebration,
right.
You know, not maliciously.
Right.
He didn't throw it at anybody. And like I said, maybe there was one or two little small drops that fell out. But for that, they threw not only my brother out of the show, but me, too, just because I was standing next to him. And
man.
Yeah. Are you a Kiss fan, Jerry?
Oh, without a doubt, man.
Yeah.
Hey, this box set that Gene Simmons has got coming out.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like $2,000? Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
And it's all just like stuff that he never wanted to release. So I don't know about spending $2,000 on stuff that cut up and went on the floor, you know?
The one thing I will say in defense of Gene on this, because I feel like he's gotten a lot of bad press on this. He will show up to your house for $50,000 and deliver the boxed set to you,
yeah,
which I know is crazy.
Insane.
Yeah, and people think that's crazy. But let's put this in perspective. You know, it's like to get Twisted Sister on their final tour to play, it cost close to $200,000 to book Twisted Sister. And they'll play anywhere. They would play your backyard if you paid them $200,000. You know, you can book.
Wow.
It's, you know, pretty much public record. You can book a band like like Vince Neil for $40,000. He'll come play just about anywhere. It doesn't matter. If you have that type of money, he'll come and play.
Right.
You know, so in Gene's defense, to have him show up at your house in, you know, Arkansas or, you know, North Dakota or Long Island or wherever, you know, it's really not that outrageous for somebody like that. And you know, you can have Jay Leno show up at your house. He'll show up and tell jokes. He's $100,000, you know, so it's like, I don't know. I don't think it's that crazy that of course everyone always wants to attack, you know, Kiss and stuff, and it's just the fact that he went public with it, you know.
Kiss live shows are the best.
Yeah,
I've seen him with makeup and without makeup.
And the other thing I would say about the $2,000 for the box set is, and I know I'm the only guy defending Gene over this, but the $2,000 not only gets you the box set, you get to go meet and hang out with Gene. So he's going to like 15 different cities. So when you buy the box set for $2,000, you get a ticket for a small gathering of like, I don't know, like 20, 30 people and Gene. And Gene comes out and he tells stories about his life, about Kiss, and then gives you the box set. So which, you know, it's almost like a meet and greet. And it's still definitely a little overpriced for sure, but he is definitely giving you more than just the box set for $2,000. You get pictures, you get to hang out with him a little bit, you know. So I'm just pointing that out with Gene's thing.
Hey, I got a question for you, Mark. Did you go to school with Portnoy and Petrucci up there in Boston?
Not exactly.
Did you go to that school? You went to the same school?
Yes. So wow. I was there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was there in 87 and 88. I didn't graduate there, as neither did Portnoy, for that matter. And Portnoy was there in 85, 86. So he was there the year before I was there. And we knew a lot of the same people. Like one of my good friends, Rob Bailey, who's a guitar player in New York City right now, does a lot of session work. I mean, he's still friends with Portnoy, and I'm still friends with Rob too. So we definitely know a lot of the same people. And when we've interviewed Portnoy, which I think we've done twice, maybe three times, I think twice actually, you know, we always talk to him about the times at Berkeley because we had some of the same teachers and some of the same friends and stuff. Yeah, but I never knew Mike when I was there simply because he started, or he was gone by the time I got there. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. But you want to hit a Dream Theater? You're a big Dream Theater fan, right?
Oh my God, I'm going to go see them at the Beacon and at the Paramount, and I got the VIP to meet them.
Cool. Well, let's play a Dream Theater song.
The Mirror.
Cool. The Mirror, as picked by Jerry from Long Island here on Talking Metal. What you just heard was The Mirror by Dream Theater, picked by Jerry from Long Island, our special guest here on this episode. And unfortunately, we're gonna cut this episode a little short. I wanted to talk more with Jerry, but I'm kind of, my wife is out, and to share a little behind the scenes thing, drama going on here. And my son apparently has come down with some kind of stomach bug. So I'm dealing with that while trying to record a show with Jerry, which isn't really fair to you, Jerry. That's why I want to hit another song of your choice here. And then we're going to absolutely have you back for an episode in a week or two. We'll get you back on the phone. We'll do another one of these.
Excellent.
Cool. And Jerry,
so how go ahead.
Before we wrap it up, is there a place where people can get in touch with you online? Are you on social media? I know you're on Instagram, right?
Yeah, Instagram, Jerry from Long Island.
Okay.
Only thing I do.
Okay, cool. Cool. We'll have that link through today's show notes on talkingmetal.com. Definitely go follow Jerry's Instagram postings. But what do you want to hit? Rush, Sabbath,
I'm digging the new UFO Salentino cuts.
Okay.
So I'd like you to play Two Rolling Stone. The guitar on that is amazing, and I cannot believe they did not play that live when I seen them a week ago.
Wow. And let me ask you, you saw Saxon open, right?
Yes, Saxon was tremendous.
And how did, like, the show I saw, and I'm no disrespect towards UFO, because amazing, legendary band, but Saxon definitely got a slightly better crowd response, and I think it was...
Without a doubt. Same thing at the Paramount in Huntington.
And why was that? Do you think it was... I don't know if they did UFO did the same set list as when I saw them, but they came out and did a bunch of, like, newer songs right off the top, and it was like the fourth song in, they finally hit Lights Out, and then the place kind of lit up.
But exact same set list, I believe.
I mean, they should have come out of the box with Lights Out or something.
It was the same thing, Mark. And basically what I witnessed was Saxon came out and just ripped through their whole set. I believe the guy's name is Biff. He ripped up the set list. He said, "What song do you want to hear now?" He said, "That's what a live show is supposed to be." And he gave the crowd a choice of three songs. Then the next thing, he gave us another, and they played "The Eagle Has Landed," and it was amazing. And I've never even seen this band live before, and they were great. UFO came out. The sound guy must have been out to lunch, because the sound was real, real low, and that kind of struck me odd. About third or fourth song, he finally got them dialed in where they weren't too loud and they weren't too low. But again, they started really, really slow. It was almost like, you know, okay, wake these guys up. And by Lights Out, they started cooking and it was great. But like you said, first three songs, it was taking a nap. Right. But yeah, they were definitely the wrong three songs to start with.
Yeah, yeah, they need to revise that set list.
Saxon kicked ass.
Yeah, great band. Biff Byford is the singer you were referring to. Legendary guy.
I would definitely see them again.
Cool. Well, let's wrap this up with UFO. And again, we're going to have Jerry back in just a couple episodes. He'll be back on with me, I promise. And again, Jerry, I'm sorry to cut this episode short. Just kind of dealing with some drama here.
It's okay, Mark. Take care of you, boy.
You bet. And what UFO song are we playing? Tell me again.
Two Rolling Stoned.
Awesome. And this is a cover, right? Is it a cover? That's a cover record.
Yeah.
Who does the original? Do you know?
I believe it's Robin Trower.
Oh, okay. All right. So here we go. A little UFO to take us out, as picked by Jerry from Long Island. Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Mark.
Just about save me from going through the same old moves. gonna sing the blues. Starts at 8, so don't